Hello and welcome back. I'm Mariana.
I'm Daisy.
Yay, we have a special guest here today.
Oh my gosh.
We recently went to David Buster's and Daisy is obsessed with a plushy Pikachu that she got.
Yeah, I forgot they can't actually see it and I was flashing him in front of a microphone. Oh my god.
So that's how this podcast is gonna go.
Oh my goodness.
No, but it's so cute. It has like little hands and a big ass head.
We'll share him on Instagram.
Yeah, and she calls him Lightning McQueen.
Because he's Pikachu.
Because he's lightning.
Lightning bolt.
And actually, there's a funny story. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, go ahead.
So when we were going to go to Disney World, Daisy refused to watch Cars because she said it's probably a dumb movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but you need to watch it. It's like a jock. Like, think of your jock and like... He has his fall from grace and like all this stuff. And she goes, nah, it doesn't sound like something I'd like. And I was like, just give it a chance. And she's like, okay, because we're going to Disney World and we're going to be seeing some car stuff, paraphernalia. I should probably know what it's about. And so we started watching Cars and she ended up crying in some of the movies and like absolutely loving it. And now I catch her watching it as background noise and naming her Pikachu after
Lightning McQueen.
Exactly.
Okay, to my defense, though, years back, I got beat up by a little Lightning McQueen backpack from one of my kids, okay? Trauma.
Yeah.
I'm good now, though.
Trauma. I hated Lightning McQueen because I was beat by a Lightning McQueen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of feeding our inner child, I guess, what have we gone to see recently, Daisy?
Mario!
Yes,
peaches. Okay, but like my four-year-olds sing the song and it comes off wrong because it sounds peaches, and that's not, no.
Beanches, but it's funny because my kids sound like they're saying bitches.
Well, then there's no even ground, I guess.
It's either beanches or bitches, and either way, it's not good. but yeah, Mario was actually a very great movie.
It was really cute.
I grew up on Mario, like playing Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So watching it on TV, like...
Kind of like come to life in with the storyline and everything.
And I know there was a previous like real life version of Mario. I never saw that.
I did. And I like it.
Did you? The real life one?
Yeah. The one with... What is it? Leguizamo, what's his name?
Yo no sé. I haven't seen it. I've seen clips on it on TikTok, but like I don't know what. I never saw the real life version. I saw the cartoon version of the Mario Brothers. Did you ever see that?
I did not. Awesome. So we'll have to watch those together sometime.
No, the cartoon version I would not recommend.
No.
It was okay, but I personally didn't like it. I just was watching it because I was like, oh my god, it's like the video game that come to cartoon. That's awesome. But it was never... Anywho, Mario Bros., the movie, I loved like every minute of it.
Me just too. Because
it had Mario Kart. It had how you assemble Mario Kart. It had Peach...
Mm-hmm.
Being an independent woman
needing
a man to save her from Bowser.
That was my favorite part.
It had Bowser as an actual villain
because
he wouldn't take no as an answer. It had sibling male sibling love and appreciation.
They showed so much affection. It was cute.
And that's not usually seen either.
Mm-hmm. And then Little Toad.
Oh, like Little Toad.
Tiny but mighty, there's
this TikTok of Little Toad with, like, his car.
Oh.
What's that song? La de mi troquita. I don't know, but it fits so perfectly.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
The vroom, vroom, vroom.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was great feeding the inner child.
And then it had little things from the game. So, like, the little cubes with the question mark.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The mushrooms.
The powers. Mm-hmm. And then they even had the baby versions of them. in the memories?
Yes, the baby versions. It had Donkey Kong. It had...
it had the little bombs.
The wizard guy that I hate in the fucking Super Mario Bro
The
video
party.
Game. Oh, the party too. Mm-hmm. It had everything. It had a little bit of everything. And apparently they're going to make like a Nintendo multi-universe like Marvel. So I didn't know that should be exciting. Weird. But
and Yoshi.
Yoshi, spoiler. Oops. It was hinted that there's going to be something with Yoshi later on. So,
yeah.
Because there was an egg.
Ooh, spoiler. What if it's after that game, the Yoshi's Island, where you have to get the baby Yoshi to safety or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Could be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved it.
Yeah. That's definitely a movie I show our future children.
Oh, definitely. Along with Pokemon.
Yes!
As she moves her Pikachu. Yes. I think that's a good movie. Especially the way they adapted it now.
Yeah.
Because before, like, in the video games, it's always, like, saving Peach from Bowser and, like...
Yeah. In the live action one, it was the same.
See? Saving and her. Now with this cartoon version, she's...
It's like, I got it.
Yep. But yeah, it's definitely something we'd show our children, something to pass down.
Yeah.
Speaking of passing down, segue, no. We wanted to talk about like traditions and stuff, and like things we would pass down to our child.
Yeah.
And as we started like discussing these things, we realized that we came from like, although we're both like Latinas, and like we both come from like Mexican household, and the first language was Spanish. Like our growing up experience was completely different.
Yeah.
And so when it came down, like we've talked about like what we're gonna pass down to our child, and like what things we're gonna allow them to watch, like Super Mario Bros. And Pokemon and all that stuff. Like at what age and all these things. Like these are conversations that come up when we talk about like our future and our future family. One of the things is how we're gonna pass down, and then we talk about like, oh, I never did that growing up, or like that was nothing, something that I held dear to my heart, or like we definitely focused on this in X, Y, and Z. So we wanted to share that with y'all.
Yeah. I realized a lot of like, not a lot, but like some variety of the stuff your family does, my family never did. And I wish they would have done.
Oh.
Because I feel like that's part of my culture that I missed out on.
I think like a lot of, when we talk about like our traditions, I think a lot of my traditions are like the families, the things that came from my family and the traditions that I have had are because of religion, though. So it's surprising right now that you say you wish you would have done. Like, what are some things you wish your family would have done?
So, like, El Día de los Reyes Magos.
Oh, okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's something my family never, ever did. Mm. And up until, like, when I was in my late teens, early 20s, I kind of looked into it and I started doing it for us. But it was me leaving, like, candies and money in our shoes or whatever. But my parents didn't do that. Mm. And I thought that was something nice to pass on because it's a tradition. But now when you put it, that it's, like, more...
It's definitely a religion. It's the Tres Reyes Magos. It's literally... religion.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, oh, I mean, like La Rosca, we could do La Rosca and stuff, but like it's teaching them the religion aspect of it.
And I don't see ourselves as introducing them to religion like our families did to us.
Exactly. Yeah. Like for Los Tres Reyes, I personally wasn't grown up con Los Reyes. But I knew of Los Reyes Magos because we'd go to Mexico and my cousins would celebrate it. Mm. So although I wasn't given things on the 6th of January when it's done, the Three Wise Kings, it's what it's called, right? Yeah. On the 6th of January, it wasn't done here for me in the United States. Mm. I'd get glimpses of it when I was in Mexico for Christmas. So that's Christmas, when you were
exposed to it.
And I was exposed to it when we were coming back, because it was around those days when we come back, because that's when school started again.
Yeah.
We'd go get some mandarinas, cutie, like those mandarins and cacahuates, peanuts. Jeez, my Spanglish right now is everywhere. But yeah, like some cacahuates and minimal do fill up the kids' shoes, our cousins' shoes with them. And since we stayed at my grandma's, that's where the shoes were left. And that's where like the toys would come from, the three wise kings. And but again, it's the religion aspect of it. And then after that, we'd cut the rosca, which apparently Louisiana, they do now too.
Yeah.
Well,
they've always done that because of the French.
Yeah, because of the French, because that's the adaptation. And then after that, after the rosca, is La Candelaria, which also is a religious aspect of it on the 2nd of February.
Oh, see, so I didn't do that at all.
It transcends, right? So it's something you do on the 6th,
mm-hmm.
and it just continues to the 2nd.
Yeah.
But again, it's religion. That's why I'm like, oh, really? But it's because of the religion aspect. That was forced on me as a...
As a child.
As a child, religion.
Another one is El Día de los Muertos.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I don't think that one's religious.
No, that one's not. No,
that
not.
One's more like, I don't know. I read on it and it's like pre-Columbian times where they honor the deceased families and friends of someone, right? And I wasn't exposed to it either. Mm-hmm. So I always heard about it and I was like, oh yeah, cool, right? I knew about the sugar skulls, but that was my extent of my knowledge. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I looked more into it. And I was like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty neat. You get to honor the people that have passed on, right? And I've always wanted to celebrate it, but I felt personally like I couldn't. Like it was too late because I was already grown up. I'm already an adult and I don't know it as much as someone else. So, like, when it comes close to that date, you know how people have their ofrendas,
their altar.
Su altares, right? And they know that you put this on there because it represents this. You put this, it represents this. I am not familiar with all of that, so I feel like I don't have a right to create my own altar, my own ofrenda. That's why when you mentioned it once, we could make one. I was like, I don't know.
Because we could.
Yeah.
It's like... Like, that's a very strong feeling, because, like I said, we grew up differently, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know if you want to touch a little bit about your parents and what age they got here to the United States.
Yeah.
But, like, my parents were in Mexico their whole life up until they had children. Did they come over here?
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense? We were brought up here, but they were down there the whole down there down south
technically
in Mexico their whole lives up until they started having a family. Did they move to the United States permanently? And therefore that's why a lot of my traditions are so, I guess, I don't feel bad for wanting to celebrate it, because my family celebrates it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Whereas me, my mom was brought here cuando she was 6 years old. So she was raised here by her single mother. Her mom worked day and night. So there was no one to really show her those traditions. And my dad came here when he was 18. And again, he was a teenager. He wasn't going to focus on traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then... he got married with my mom when he was in his early 30s. And I guess by then, tradition was just... it just wasn't there. He didn't practice anything anymore. Mm-hmm. And then when we came along, well...
nothing was passed down.
Nothing.
Yeah. And with the day... El Día de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. I think it's part of that. Now that you mentioned, like, your mom was raised by a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised by a single mom. So those traditions were hard to pass on to me.
Mm.
So my mom didn't have the time to like teach me.
Yeah, to focus on it. Yeah.
Because we never also did Day of the Dead. The Day of the Dead only started, did my mom start celebrating now that she has more time.
Oh, see, and I came in when she had the time because see, I saw it out, you saw at, it at her house. I was like, oh, damn. But I didn't know that before that she didn't.
No, because she didn't have time.
Yeah.
But therefore, she didn't pass it down to me. So I don't know a lot of those things that you don't know either.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's fucking do it. Let's bring it back, you know? Like, yeah, there's things that I we can come back and, like, pass down to our children as well.
That's something I would like to pass down to
them. Day of the Dead.
Yeah. It's something where, like, they get to learn about their ancestors, too, mm-hmm. and their family before them. I think that'd be nice.
That would be nice.
I just got to stop feeling like I'm a usurper in my own culture.
No. And it's, like, a valid feeling to have, for sure.
Yeah. So that's another one. Celebrating birthdays. There's a lot of traditions and customs that go with that.
Yes. This is what we start going with. We're hell not doing that.
Yeah. So one of them is la piñata.
I love la piñata.
So I found some interesting facts and history about the piñata. Actually, the piñata is very symbolic.
Okay.
Okay. So bright colors represent temptation.
What?
Yeah. The stick symbolizes the sin you will overcome. Yeah, the blindfold represents faith. You think about it, you're like
blind faith.
Yeah, and the candies or like the filling inside represents the riches from heaven raining down on you when you've defeated the evil, aka la piñata.
Whoa, wait. I didn't know that it had that deep of a meaning.
Neither did I. I thought a piñata was just a piñata, like something beat it for candy.
Pero también, a lot of the piñatas only come from, you know, Mexico or Latinoamérica. Mm-hmm. So, huh.
Yeah, apparently the piñata represents sin.
What the heck? Okay.
So now I'm like, do I want
a piñata? Sin?
At our child's birthday?
I was like, at the beginning of this conversation, I was like, yeah, piñata, duh.
Right?
Bolos de dulces y todo.
Yeah, so like, Dora the piñata is fucking sin now.
I don't know,
yeah.
Dude. That's weird.
Yeah.
Huh. I still want a piñata, though.
I mean, yeah, fine, sure. I don't care.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That could have so much meaning. So why did they start doing that in birthdays? Did you find out?
No. I'll look into it. But that's what I found that it represented. And I was like, interesting.
That is super interesting. Weird.
Yeah. So maybe like birthdays every year you defeat your own sin and start over. I don't know. Culture is weird.
Culture's weird. I mean, something else that's weird is... apparently, dunking, like, pushing the child's face or anybody's face into cake. First of all, my family has had very bad experiences with shoving cake.
Face into cake.
I have a video of my niece getting her face shoved into a cake. Totally missed the cake. And they just pushed her face into the table. I'm surprised she didn't break any teeth. Shout out to you if you're listening. But I have that video. It's on my Instagram too.
Oh my gosh.
But it just, I hate that. I very much dislike that aspect of birthdays. I don't want our kid
no's
face to be shoved into anybody. Like, does that make sense? Like, if they want to shove their own face in it, then that's their
fine
problem.
Then, you know.
But I don't want anybody shoving our kid's face into their cake.
They will be tackled to the ground by me. And I'm not responsible for any broken bones.
And apparently that's a tradition that started in Mexico.
Why am I not surprised?
Why? I couldn't find why.
What?
Everyone's like, es que es la mordida. It's the bite. It's the mordida. But like, why are you shoving their face?
Yeah, that's no longer a mordida. Like, if it's a mordida, the bite, then let them take the fucking bite. Don't shove their face into the cake. That's no longer a bite.
That's what I found. And then also, shoving your partner's face in the cake at a wedding, derives from like Romans, and it like apparently the Romans were doing it to symbolize like fertility and like male dominance because they'd shove their wife's face into the cake. Listen,
of course men would. Of course.
That's what I allegedly. Yeah. You know, I don't know, but that's what I came across. I was like, why do people shove people's faces in cake? And everyone's like, it was a Mexican thing that everyone has adapted now. And I'm like, pero por why? Like,
yeah. Oh, hell no.
I don't know. I don't want that. I don't want that for our child. Definitely.
No, I mean, with cakes and piñatas, I'm going to be very strict about it. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. No shoving the kid's face into the cake. They do that, they will get a bat to the face or something.
Mm-hmm. You're no longer invited. You're getting the kicked out.
Yeah. And with piñatas, if we do piñatas for the kids, then only kids are allowed to go for the candy. Oh, and God. No adults.
Yes.
I've seen so many adults get into, like, the fray of everything, and kids get hurt. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. I will not have that.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Porque ahí sí, I let loose.
I lose. No, same. Yeah. It's for kids.
Yeah.
The party, if the party is for a child, everything is for a child, and only the children will participate for sure.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, I was reading. I was like, why? Why is that a thing? I don't want that for our child. But like, why did that become a thing? And I couldn't get down to it. Like, no one understands where it came from. It just said, it's because it's part of la mordida. And I'm like,
it's no longer a mordida.
No.
It's a fucking swallow or choke of the cake. Yeah. Anyways, part of like, in my family, the way we like did birthdays, right? Aside from piñatas and pasteles. Mm-hmm. We didn't get our face shoved into the pastel. Mm. So that one was scary when I found that out. Because my thought was, it's going to shove up your nostrils and you can't breathe and you die.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but I was a kid. my family always woke us up with las mañanitas. Mm. Mm-hmm. We'd be sleeping and then all of a sudden las mañanitas were playing out of nowhere. And you wake up groggily, everybody's singing and it's cute.
Yeah, same. Actually,
like sets up for the day, you know.
Mm-hmm. Same. I was woken up by las mañanitas too.
Yeah. I think that's cute.
I think that's cute too. I think that's something we could pass down. Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess based on like birthdays is quinceañeras.
Oh yeah.
I still don't know how I feel about quinceañeras. I never had one.
Same.
If our child wants one, I guess.
See, this is my thing. Okay? I never had one, but like, I don't feel like I missed out on anything, honestly.
Same.
Right? So I'm not like, I wish I had one. No, it's like, for my 15th birthday, I got a cell phone. So for teenage me,
that's amazing.
That was better than a quinceañera. Mm-hmm. You get me? But for our kids, I'll give them an option. Either you want a quinceañera or...
All hyped and excited.
Yeah. Do they want to go to Disney World?
Yeah.
I pay for it.
Yeah.
You know? I'd be much happy with option two. Same. Just saying. Pero, same. I mean, it's up to them.
So, a little background on quinceañeras.
Oh, okay, this will determine whether they get the option or not.
Well, the quinceañeras actually come from two different of our backgrounds.
Okay.
There's the Aztec Mexica version, okay. And then there's the Spaniard colonial version.
Okay.
Because they both had a type of quinceañera. Because basically, quinceañeras come from, like, presenting the child.
That they're now young woman,
they're,
young
they're lady. They're the coming of age of, like, adulthood, mm-hmm. sort of, right? In the Mexica times, Aztec, both male and females were presented to the emperor when they turned 15. When they became adults. The reason why they were presented to the emperor is because the men would be turned, or males would be turned to warriors at 15. And the women were presented as caregivers because they were now able to care for a womb, a child in their womb.
For
reproduction. And the reason why they both were held at the same level is because if a woman were to die in childbirth, they would be presented in the same honors as a warrior.
Oh.
So, like, they both present value. Does that make sense? The same amount of value. Just one's going to be in war and one's going to be...
Producing life.
So that's, like, the Aztec. What I learned from it, that's the version. In Spanish colonial times, only the elite and the higher up were able to have, like, these kind of parties to present their daughters to be married to other elite and powerful people. And whoever had the most money, they would take her. And that's where, like, the courtship comes, los chambelanes. And that's where those chambelanes comes in the quinceañera, is because these chambelanes were the ones that were chosen to possibly be her suitor. Does that make sense?
Show me your best pig and I'll consider it.
Basically.
Just kidding.
No.
But yeah. No, yeah, it's, yeah.
Basically that. But yeah, so it has like the Aztec and then the Spaniard. It's just the Spaniard has more of a definitely marriage portion. And it's only for females. While the Aztec had both male and female.
I don't like the presented. Spaniard ones.
I mean, either way, the women get fucked in. Like, whoa.
Well, I mean.
Poor choice of words. Women end up on the bottom of the totem pole. For me, in my opinion, in both options. The church component was later added to thank God for letting people, like, reach that part of their life. Again, probably Spaniard, because that's Catholic. And Catholic comes from Spaniards.
Yeah. Colonizers.
Yeah. So, that's what I learned. That's where quinceañeras came from.
Well, I'm really thinking about it now. Guess we're going to Disney. Yeah.
They don't even get the option. No, I at this point, like, from how people have, like, thought about it, right? Like, quinceañeros are no longer, like, this is... You're ready to get married, right? That doesn't make any sense nowadays. It's definitely still a predominantly female...
Yeah.
Party. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really care for it, honestly. That's my opinion. But if our child wants it...
They need to bring me a PowerPoint and the many reasons why we should.
Research it.
Yep.
bring us a compelling argument and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but...
I mean, it'd be easier to just pick Disney.
Honestly.
No PowerPoint needed.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we don't have a stubborn child, but we already know the answer.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be our children.
Mm-hmm. I take no responsibility. Anyways, what are other traditions your family did or...
I mean, we had a lot of, like I told you, I was raised in a very religious family.
Mm-hmm.
Still very religious. So there's, like, Navidad. Navidad has, like, Christmas has a lot of religious components to it because that's when Jesus was born, allegedly. So... There's like the posadas that I used to like partake in Mexico, and posadas are basically it symbolizes when Jesus's parents were going house to house to see who can house them because she was pregnant. She was about to give birth and everybody kept denying her. And so that's what happened. So like you start off praying, you go house to house. No one answers the door. No one answers the door until someone opens the door. And then you play games. You have ponche. You eat. You have a good time. And then you do it again the next day. Like, it kind of goes on for a little bit. And then until Christmas Day is when Jesus is born.
Oh, I never did that.
Yeah. That's those posadas.
I always heard about it, pero nunca, like, I didn't know what people did.
That's how I, like,
no, your family.
El pueblo, like, the little town that where my mom's from, that's how we did it. I don't know if other people celebrated differently, but, yeah, that's what it was done for Navidad. And then, again, we both celebrate on Christmas Eve, not so much Christmas Day.
Yes.
I don't know. There's a lot of components as to how, like, we haven't really fully discussed how Christmas Eve and Christmas Day is going to work. We've talked about it a little bit. But a lot of what I was brought up with is very religion-based. So, Santa Claus wasn't really a concept in my mind. At first, like, from what I could recall, I don't even remember like believing in Santa Claus, but maybe before the age of five I did, but like in my memory I don't remember Santa Claus being a thing. We just got presents from my aunt, my uncle, so-and-so and my mom.
We did. My mom had us write letters to Santa Claus asking for what we wanted, and then she quote would go to the mail and send it off to the North Pole.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, until we were like, I want to say I was 10 or something. Were younger? I think I was younger. My siblings and I refused to go to sleep, so we snuck into the living room by the Christmas tree. And we were literally...
You ruined your own Christmas!
We were literally rolling on the floor. I don't know why. It was late. My parents were asleep. We were weird children, okay? And I don't know who it was. Either my brother or my sister. They extended their arm under the sofa and they felt something. So they pulled it out and it was our Christmas letters. My parents had hid them under the sofa. And then we were like, the fuck? There's presents right there, but our letters are still here. And that's kind of when we understood, oh, whatever. We got our presents, you know? But for us, it's always been Santa Claus. It hasn't been very religion-based. Like, I wasn't even aware that people went to church during Christmas until I got into my teens. And with our family, it was literally you buy a nice, pretty outfit so you can sit in the sala, in the living room, the whole night. Right? And then hear the chisme from the moms. Like, that's what we did. And then you wait till it's 12 to open up the gifts and stuff. And then every time our reunion spot was my grandma. And so we'd like put the Christmas gifts we got, we'd put them in a bag and take them to my grandma's and all that stuff. But when I was a kid, my parents were more like, oh, well, Santa dropped them off your cousin's gifts here, so we got to take them to your grandma's. And I think he dropped yours off at your tia's, so she's going to take them to your grandma's. So it was like never, like, the magic was always there in some way that Santa Claus was dropping presents everywhere. And it wasn't really religion-based at all.
Yeah. I'm, like, trying to think if I ever, like, remember believing in Santa Claus. But I can't recall.
No.
Childhood trauma. No, I'm just kidding. But really. No, I can't remember that aspect. That's cool, though. I want there to be magic. Like, hello, magic and daily shenanigans. No. But, like, I want our child to have magic on Christmas.
Yeah.
Because as you start growing older, there's the magic stops.
They stop believing.
Yeah. So let's have some magic. Let's have some innocence in this without the religion component.
Yeah, and see, I even want to do like the cookie and the carrots for the reindeer.
Yes.
I think that's so cute, especially for like little children who like eat it up and they're like, ah, they came.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cute.
I think that's cute too.
That's what I want for us.
Same. Of course, tamales. Tamales.
Oh my gosh.
We have learned, we have mastered. Maybe not mastered, but we're getting
there.
We're
getting there.
We're getting there. Our tamales this last year came out so good.
Yeah.
That I think we're on the route to success.
Yeah.
If we're not already there, because they're pretty bomb.
Yeah, not to toot our own horn, but they were really good tamales.
But that's something that we'll continue to provide on Navidad.
And see, that's another tradition that in our culture, like, they do for Navidad, right? Is those tamales. You can't go on without tamales. Mm-hmm. But within my household, with my immediate family, there weren't tamales.
Hmm.
My mom never made tamales.
She made tamales?
Yeah, after I brought that into our family. We used to do turkey.
Pozole.
Yeah.
Oh, pozole, yeah.
Or pozole, right? And, so that was a thing. And then again, when I got into my 20s, when I started exploring our culture and I wanted to learn more, that's when I was like, you know what? Me tengo que poner las pilas. Tamales is like a huge thing. And then so I YouTubed a bunch of recipes and everything. And then I eventually started making my own. And after that is when my mom got inspired and started making tamales también. But if it wasn't for me, I don't think she would have.
Tamales to this time. That's interesting.
Yeah. And that's why I don't want to skip a Christmas without tamales.
Yeah. Because you brought that back.
Yeah.
Hey, good job, you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think Navidad's, as a child, it's like the best holiday.
Yeah.
I think.
Now, as an adult, it's very stressful. But as a child, it was pretty awesome.
Yes. Although now that I realize it, Christmas was never my favorite to begin with. Maybe because of the religion component.
Maybe. You weren't exposed to the magic of it.
No, maybe. Maybe I was. Maybe I'm like shitting on my family. But like, I don't remember believing in Santa Claus. There's also Día de la Virgen in December.
Oh yeah, there's backtracking.
And that is also a religious component.
Yes.
That... I think I battle with, like, what am I going to do? Like, what are we going to do for our child? Because if we're not introducing a religion, how do we introduce Día de la Virgen? And this is my conflict before you get into your viewpoint.
Yeah, go ahead.
Catholicism, from what I've known and grown up and studied and researched, only reason why they admired La Virgencita de Guadalupe is because the Aztecs or the indigenous people in Mexico already had a deity that was like La Virgen. And so they just added both of them together and said, here, praise our Virgencita that looks just like your...
That we colonized.
What was it? It starts with the T.
Tonatzin.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know. That's, I guess, where my conflict comes in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Tonatzin means our sacred mother. And yeah, I've always been in that limbo of religion. Like, even from a child... I wasn't always a firm believer, right? So I always struggled with the whole scientific part of it too, because at school they're teaching us evolution and all this stuff. And then I go to catecismo and then they're like, well, no, Adam and Eve were the first ones and all that stuff. And I'm like, but how? If there were dinosaurs. My brain always worked in a way, but when I was in... got the catechismo for my first communion. They're like, well, Adam and Eve, right? And I was like, okay.
Not Adam and Steve. Sorry. Every time I hear Adam and Eve, I think, not Adam and Steve. Sorry.
And my whole brain would be like, okay, well, they had kids. How did they reproduce? And then, you know, you start thinking. And at at the brain of a 10, 11 year old, you're like, ew, but then how did they reproduce? And then how did they reproduce? And the question just expands and expands. I did ask that in Catecismo, and they shut me up.
Because they don't have an answer.
So I was like, okay. But I strayed off. Anyways, yeah, I've never been deep in religion. But with La Virgen, the Guadalupe, it's like another different story.
Yeah, same. Listen, I have my beliefs and I know what I believe. Yes. And I've said it before, I think, on the podcast. Like, I am spiritual. I am, you know.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with that, I still believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a God. There's La Virgencita. Like, there's somebody, right?
Yeah.
Watching over me. But I don't know if I want to force things on our child.
Yes, that's
my problem.
See. That's exactly what I was actually thinking. Like, we all have our own spiritual journey and the way we believe in the upper powers, if you believe in an upper power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pero, like, throughout my life, I've gone through things where, like, at one point, I'm like, I'm never going to get out of this. Like, I'm stuck. There's no solution. Done. And every time, for me, I'd pray to the Virgen de Guadalupe. And I'm not even kidding. It's like instant solution.
It's like literally La Rosa de Guadalupe.
No, not even like that. No.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't even get the little fresh air.
Sorry, okay? Just trying to diffuse the tension.
I don't know what tension you're talking about.
But
like, it was instant. And then, so like, the more I try to push religion out of my life, she's the only one that stood there for me in my spiritual journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's the universe or whatever energy that flows, law of attraction. I don't know. But it's just, for me, it amazes me that every time I've asked for something, I've asked for help. When I've been desperate, it's always when I talk to her that I get that solution.
Mm.
You know? So it's not something I want to push down our kid's throat. It's more like, here's my faith. She's my faith. I believe in her, and you're welcome to join me, or you're welcome to take your own route. But I'm not going to be shoving nothing down their throats.
Exactly.
So he could be there and witness it, but like, you don't have to
partake in it.
No.
It is your decision at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And as a child, they'll follow our lead, but it's not like we're going to be like, you have to do this and you have to pray this prayer. Mm-mm. And all this stuff. Like, no, it's just like, she's going to be in our home and
yeah, that's that. Bring her flowers every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not something I want them to feel forced. Or in our case with my siblings and I, it was more like we got instilled the fear of God.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I also questioned that when I was younger. I'm like, if we're supposed to like honor, love, whatever this being they're making me love, honor, and whatever, why do I have to fear him?
Mm-hmm.
But if everything is like, no, you can't be saying that because
he's all loving and all good.
Exactly.
Why should I fear him as well?
And it was literally like, I get in the car, my parents were like, persínate, or else we're going to fucking crash.
Sorry.
No, I'm not kidding.
I'm laughing because it's relatable. I've been there. I'm not laughing.
Dude, todavía me persino when I'm in the car with my dad. Okay, like, for real. And then when I got with you, like, I guess not seeing my parents do that, I've never done it around you. I also trust your driving skills.
Oh, thanks.
You know,
hey, I'm a good driver.
When I drive with my dad, me persino, because, yeah, that man likes to drive.
Yeah.
Reckless. But anyways.
No, I mean, I was taught the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, persínate, like, right now, like, what's that in English?
Bless yourself? I don't know.
Persínate, bless yourself. The sign of the cross. Do the sign of the cross when you get in the car, when you get on the highway. And I'm like, oh, pero por why? Like,
yeah,
my what's going to happen if I don't?
My parents made it seem like we were going to die.
And then I'd get yelled at or, like, in trouble if I didn't because panic.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, bro, chill.
Yeah, and then when we were done eating, they would have us always say, gracias a Dios que nos dio de comer.
Same.
Thank God for feeding us. I'm like, why? Are we going to choke with the food? Is it going to give me indigestion? Why? What happens if I don't say it? Mm-hmm. And it was always like a fear. If we don't thank him, then something bad is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then when I was also little, if I didn't pray at night, then I felt like I wouldn't be heard and something bad would happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't want our kids to grow with fear that whatever they think of or they don't do, then they're going to die. Mm-hmm. That's where my anxiety came from.
I honestly think our parents had a lot of anxiety, and that's why they made us do the sign of the cross before driving, because anxiety.
I think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
But
maybe
if my dad was on the wheel, why isn't he driving carefully?
Because there's bad drivers out there.
That's true. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I totally relate, and that's a thing still. And I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because my family's so religious, I remember you saying that you've never felt like religion was being shoved down your throat until, like, you started hanging out with my family. But it's because this is what we're used to. This is how we've been brought up. And I didn't know you weren't like that. I didn't know your history.
Yeah.
So when I'd invite you to these parties that we would have,
they were not parties.
They were religious gatherings. Okay. And I thought,
yeah,
this is normal. This is the Mexican life. Like, this is what happens. No.
Yeah, that's why she didn't understand when I got offended that I was made to pray and read a verse in front of everybody. I was so not happy about that. I've never had to do that with my family. And I mean, it happened.
Listen, we learn.
Yeah.
We're moving
forward. I'm never doing that again.
Exactly. But like, I don't want our child to feel the way you did.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because I thought that was normal.
See, and you didn't know.
That was average.
Yeah.
I didn't know that other aspect of it.
Yeah.
Like, yes, we're both Mexican. We come from
Went to the same church.
We went to the same church. We grew up in the same neighborhood. Yet our growing up situation with Catholicism and just
traditions,
culture
and all that stuff
is different.
It's different, way different.
And I just thought because we were in the same neighborhood, we went to the same church, you experienced the same religion and like
experience
that I did. It wasn't a party. No. It was a religious gathering without explaining that to you, thinking that you already knew.
No.
Coming into it.
I knew there was going to be food, so I thought it was a real party.
I mean, afterwards there was
food. Yeah, like y'all fed me and then, okay, pray. Right,
pray now.
I was like, oh shit.
Get
I
on your do knees.
Yes, I did not. Okay. But it happened. We learned.
Yes.
We're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Never doing that again.
Exactly. Never doing that again.
I should have also said something, but you know. We learn.
We're moving forward.
Yeah. But yeah, with the Virgen de Guadalupe, that's something. If they want to adopt, then fine by me. If they don't, fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the end of the day, the person that they should really, really, really believe in is themselves.
Amen. Hallelujah. All of a sudden we get religious. No, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Along with the religious aspect, how do you feel about Easter?
Oh, and Semana Santa?
Yes.
The Holy Week?
Yes.
That's a no for me.
Okay, it's a no for
okay.
me.
Okay.
But Easter Bunny.
See, I grew up with the Easter Bunny too.
I grew up with the religious aspect of it. Again. Okay. We had huevitos. We weren't looking for huevitos, but We knew, like, the adults put out those huevitos. There was no Easter bunny. There was no magic. It was literally the adults. Here, kids, turn around. We're going to go hide los huevos. And then everybody hid those huevos. Like, they told us. Does that make sense? It wasn't like a... The Easter bunny came and dropped all these eggs. And...
Oh, no. With us, with the eggs, we knew the adults hid them. Because we had a carne asada, you know, grilling outside and everything. We'd eat. And then they were like, okay, go inside while we hide the eggs. So we went inside. And then they were hiding them. And then they're like, okay, go hunt them. We went and got the eggs, right? But the Easter bunny notion for my siblings and I was that my parents always left us a little basket by our bed. So, you know, a little...
And that's the Easter bunny.
That's the Easter bunny for us.
I didn't grow up with the Easter bunny.
Those little canastas, the baskets they sell at, like, Walmart and shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always, like... Up until, like, I was 14. And
there's the magic of it.
And that's the Easter bunny for me.
I love the magic of, like, holidays.
And, well, like, the Holy Week and stuff, it was a whole don't eat meat on certain days, right?
I apologize if anyone's super religious and this is super offensive. That's not our vibe.
Yeah, no. That's really we're not trying to be offensive.
We're not trying to be offensive.
We're just letting it out. We're venting.
We're venting.
Okay. But yeah, it was like, don't eat meat on these days. Oh, and that also was another fear stuff. Because I'm like, I'm going to eat meat and then I'm going to die. Right? Uh-huh. But then at school, I forgot because my mom wasn't there. So I ate meat.
And public schools and public schools don't care what you celebrate. Mm-mm. They'll just feed you what you need to be fed. And mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah. So that wasn't my fault there. And I thought maybe because I'm at school, God won't punish me. So that was another fear-inducing one. But yeah, we didn't really do much for La Semana Santa or leading to Easter. It was just a whole don't eat meat, Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday.
We did go to that every Palm Sunday. And then we'd get our little palm, our little palmita. And we didn't listen to what they were saying because we were too busy trying to build our own cross out of it. And then afterwards, we just go to dinner. But we never really got into, like, the really, really... The most religious extent to that, I guess, is going to church on Palm Sunday.
And Easter.
No.
Oh, you didn't even
we
Easter.
Didn't. No, because that was carne asada fries out.
Carne asada fries.
Carne asada day. So that's when we got together with family.
Yeah.
But we didn't go to church that day either. We went...
Listen, we went to church every Sunday. And then on Thursday, before Easter, Thursday's like the washing of the feet, like kind of like the Last Supper type situation. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go Thursday night to church to see the, like, washing of the feet. And then sometime, I don't remember. But yeah, Thursday for sure we went at night because that was the washing of the feet ceremony.
Okay, so.
And then Friday is when he was crucified. And then Saturday he was still dead. And then Easter, we went again because, because that's when he was alive.
Oh, wow. No, I did not do that. We only did Palm Sunday. And then Easter was like, everybody got together and ate barbecue.
I'm down for our child to experience the Easter bunny. And I know that's like, I guess, what like makes me not, I guess that's the guilty feeling because I grew up with all this stuff. I just don't want to shove, again, religion down their throat.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I feel like we're going to assimilate so much to the American culture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But at the same time, a lot of the traditions that come are religious.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take that away, and what are you left with on those holidays? American culture.
Yeah.
Easter bunny. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's I guess my guilt. Maybe it's just because this is what was embedded in me, and I'm made to feel guilty if I don't celebrate it, you know?
Maybe. I've never felt guilty about not celebrating the religious aspect of it.
You didn't grow up with it.
Yeah, either. So I don't really know that guilt like you do. And I guess I never really associated the Easter Bunny with American culture. Because a bunny is an animal. Mm. From the animal kingdom.
Yeah. So I always saw Easter Bunny as an American thing.
Oh, interesting.
I shouldn't say American. As a US of A thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. That's very interesting.
Listen, I don't know. Yo no hablo inglés. Yeah, anything other traditions?
Oh, yeah. Cinco de Mayo.
Hmm. Okay.
Again, a lot of people celebrate it as an excuse to drink and eat tacos and hard shells. That thing is not a fucking taco.
Yeah. But again, Cinco de Mayo is celebrated in the US of A.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah, and they think it's a dependence. You know, that infuriates me?
Yeah.
And if our kid grows up thinking that's the Independence Day, we failed them.
We have failed them.
But for me, it's more of my parents' anniversary. So I still celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but just not in the terms of our culture, I guess. Although we don't celebrate it, but we always get food that day. Yeah.
I mean, it's acknowledged.
Yeah, acknowledged. In Mexico,
it's acknowledged because it was a huge battle against the French. It's acknowledged, but it's not celebrated like it is here.
Yeah. So it's just get some food, crack a beer open. Of course, the beer will not be for the kids.
That's for us. Fun fact. Okay. So, you know how Cinco de Mayo is the victory for the French?
Yes.
Did you know that in Mexico, they say sepa? Sepa? I don't know. Yo no sé. Sepa. The teacher that I work with hates sepa because that's not really a Spanish word. It's only a Mexican word.
You've got an issue with it?
Because it's not proper Spanish. And she's not Mexican.
Oh.
So she doesn't understand sepa is a
term
that we use. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's like a I don't know, no sé. But apparently, the reason why we say sepa is because when the French were in Mexico, they always kept saying, I don't know, je ne sais pas, je ne sais pas, je ne sais pas, je ne sais pas. And so they started learning of some of that French, and they learned to say sepa.
Oh my God, no way.
Which is, I don't know, but they minimized it, and now we just keep saying sepa, sepa, je ne sais.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yep. Huh. I don't know how accurate that is, but I learned.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
It from someone who heard it from someone. Yeah.
Would make sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. But just some fact. Yeah. So, el 16, would you?
I would like them to acknowledge it again, to be honest. I started acknowledging it in my late teens, early 20s, because again,
it wasn't introduced
to me. And afterwards, though, is when I started making September 16, and then that's when my dad started getting on board, September 16. So we'd get food that day and just acknowledge it in our little dinner type of way, but it wasn't something that they really acknowledged. If I would have dropped it and not ever brought it up, it wouldn't.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
For bringing the culture back, you know what I mean?
When your parents
were trying so hard to assimilate, you were no!
I mean, I've always been hungry to learn more about my culture.
For sure.
So.
We, in my family, we always went downtown for El 16.
Oh, really?
And we heard them always scream El Grito because they have this whole thing downtown.
Yeah.
And they'll do El Grito, Viva Mexico, Viva. And every single time I get chills, I'm like, yeah, Mexico!
Well, that's how I got motivated to look more into it. So one time when I used to work at my dad's store, I was like 17 or 18. I think 18, I was already above age. They told me to go hold a little booth over there for the store. So we took like those Japanese peanuts and like little baggies and stuff for that day, right? And it was just so like, oh, the energy was pumped and shit and everything, and music. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like so welcome here because this is my people. And after that, it's when I'm like, huh, let me look into this. And then like the whole grito and mm-hmm. yeah. You have a face. What is it?
Man, the universe just kept pushing us together, didn't it? Because I did not miss the 16 de septiembre. And there you were holding a booth downtown.
Oh my gosh, that's true.
Listen, I'm not saying we were meant to be, but we were meant to be. Yeah.
For real, that's so cool.
Anywho, what? Yeah. Yeah, what else?
So yeah, that's another one I want our kids to like acknowledge and have pride in.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I don't want no sabo kid. I will fail as a parent if there are no sabo kid.
Mm-hmm. There's people that get offended for calling them no sabo kids. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
I'm gonna hold my tongue.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Moving forward.
And another one that I don't, it's not really like a tradition, but it kind of is, but it's very simple. It's just like meal customs. So like, I don't know your family, now that I'm thinking about it, because there's a lot of things we do differently. But in the mornings, it's always like you eat and then you have like your coffee and your panecito, your little sweet bread. And I feel like in most of the families I've known, like, they do that. Like, you cannot miss your coffee and your sweet bread or else you're failing. That's sort of, like, the vibe I want. Except now, I don't have bun, but I have Teddy Graham crackers.
Mm-hmm. There's still that sweet component.
Yeah.
Not so much el pan, again, but definitely el cafecito. Cafecito is always a huge component. The café con pan is mostly a night thing. For my family, if I remember correctly, at the end of the night, un pan con su cafecito, or su avena, depending on how old you are, avena con pan.
Oh, I've never heard of the avena part.
At the end of the night,
my parents do it morning and night. The pan and the coffee.
Again, why do they drink? This is what I never understood. Even as a teenager, and I saw my mom do it, drinking coffee at like 10 p.m. How
do they go to sleep?
What is happening
here? I will read an entire book if I have coffee at night.
At 10 p.m.?
Yeah.
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 I don't know, dude.
And you know what's funny? My parents would tell me, no tomes café at night because you won't be able to sleep.
But there they are
drinking their coffee.
Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do.
But, you know, I respect it because I did do it and then I couldn't sleep.
They had a point.
So I was like, my mom was right.
I don't know. I don't know how. Yep.
Yeah.
So I don't know. that's a good little thing. So for a child, what they would not have coffee.
No. Well, what do you think about decaf coffee?
No.
Oh. Or their milk.
Their milk when they're sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They need their calcium. I guess when we have a kid, we have to have real milk at home, huh?
Yeah. I mean, they could drink. Can they drink almond milk? Listen, this is some things that we'll research once the child is actually in the near future. But for right now.
I mean, they can drink almond milk. It's just what has the most nutrition value for the child, I guess. Yeah,
they need the calcium for their teeth.
And their bones.
Yeah.
Their bones specifically, too, because that's what's growing.
I think they actually need milk. Listen, we'll research this later.
Yeah.
There's other things that I also, that aren't traditions, they're most like customs.
Okay.
That I feel like we do or we say.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say mande.
Oh.
And I want to eliminate mande because mande is like, I'm at your service, like tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Dame tus órdenes, like. You're in charge of me.
Yeah.
And I don't want our child to say mande. I understand that mande has been a form of respect to others when you're like, hey, Daisy, and you're like, mande. Like, I understand that that was how that was related. But if we look back how far it's gone, it definitely derives from, like, the lower class responding to the higher class, whether that be indigenous to the colonizers or just lower class to the higher class, of saying, tell me what to do. I am at your service, my lord, type thing.
Bend mande. The knee.
Yes, mande. So I don't want our child to say mande, which is still a conflict in my tongue, because it's been so engraved in me to say mande that I still say it. But every time I say it, I like squirm a little and I correct myself. Yes, diga, dígame. Dice, tell me, instead of tell me what to do. It changes the language.
Yeah.
I still don't like que.
Okay.
Because it depends on the way that's used.
See, I am okay with que. Mm. It just depends on the tone.
Exactly.
If you're going to be like, que? I'm like, oh, you're waiting for me to tell you what's going on, right? Or if you go, que?
Yeah.
Then...
it's the tone.
Number one is going to get me to repeat myself to what I said. Number two will get you a mean look, like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. But,
because no matter who it comes from, an adult, a child, whoever it comes from, if it comes off with attitude, I'm going to look at you wrong.
Yeah.
Like, no matter who it, like, there's no hierarchy. Get with the wrong tone is going to get you a look, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's cool that you brought it up, because a teacher I work with, we've been eliminating that word from our vocabulary for years now. Mm-hmm. Because we had, like, a sort of similar conversation when we're like, we're not going to be doing mande. Because mande is like, yeah, I'm ready for you to boss me around.
Mm-hmm. And I don't like that.
And we're not about that. So, like, with my students at school, whenever they answer que... it took me a while to get used to it, but now I'm, like, immune to it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's part of they're inquiring what's next.
But there's, like, several versions of what to say. Like,
yeah.
Yes, like, you called my name, yes. Like, I'm responding. Or, like, dime, like, you needed to tell me something, dime, dígame. Like, you know, there's just different variations of saying, yes, you have my attention. Instead of... mande.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I feel like a lot of Latinos, maybe. I don't know about Latinos, but I know my family says.
Yeah. Mande. My parents, too.
It's a sign of respect.
Yeah. And they're very much of mande se dice mande, especially like when we were younger. And that's what I used to do with my students, actually, when I started working at the school. Whenever they said que, I'd be like, no, mande. And then I started switching from, no, we're not doing mande, because I don't want these kids to grow up with that.
Yep.
Right? So it all depends on the tone with que. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with que. If they tell me, like, if they refer to that, I'm fine with it. If they say mande, then that's when I'm like, ugh.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard because it's hard to teach someone else when I still haven't gotten that out of my own.
Yeah.
So I recognize it now when someone calls me and I'm like, mande, and I'm like, ugh, I cringe at myself. Does that make sense? Because I'm trying to get it out of my tongue, and I can't, because it's so engraved in me from child. Anywho. Any other thing? Custom?
Yeah, there's another one, but la esclava.
Mm.
The little bracelets.
Oh.
That we in Mexico use.
You have one.
Yep.
You're looking at it right now.
Yep. That has that, like, the little flatbed, and then it has a name engraved on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's because way back, slaves were held with, like, shackles and stuff. And if they didn't have their name, then they had numbers.
So?
And that's how you identify them. And now it's evolved into, like, jewelry, into, like, a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I look at it and me, I'm like, well, whatever, like, my mom did this to me. Mm-hmm. Right? Whatever, it's just jewelry. But when I think about our future children wearing one with their name on it, it kind of like tugs on something in me that I'm like, it's cute and looks so cute on their little hands and stuff, but oh, I don't think that's something I want them to wear.
For sure.
Just because in the back of my head, I'm like, that's what it represents. Whereas too many people is like, get over it. It's just a piece of jewelry.
I had one in California, but it was for emergencies. It didn't have my name on it. Oh. It had my parents' phone number and my address, which also comes off as like not a safety. Now yeah. that I think about it, if it has your address and your phone number. But it was supposed to be like a safety thing in case someone found me. They know who to contact. Kind of like a dog tag.
Oh my God. And see, with the bracelet, le llaman la esclavita.
Esclava.
Esclava. Slave in Spanish. Slave. It literally means slave.
Yeah.
So do I want that for my child? No. Does it look really, really cute?
Yeah. Hell yeah, it does.
You know? Yeah. But mejor una pulserita de ojito.
You know, some people don't want to pass that down to their child either.
I was looking. Evil eye bracelet?
Yeah.
Why?
I have no idea. And it never stated anything. But along with La Esclava, they had a little pulserita for the child, too. That they didn't want to pass that down. And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah.
But they didn't mention why or anything.
Huh. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm
saying? No, I do the little bracelet with a little eye. I do that. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't want bad juju for the kid. Mm-hmm. Pero the esclava literally means slave. That's not something I go with.
For sure. There's other things. And we could go down a deep hole of like things that we were raised on and generational trauma and all these other things that we don't want to pass down.
Mm-hmm.
But like saying hi to everybody. That's also another respect thing.
When you go to a gathering.
Because that's also something that's super disrespectful in my family still right now if you don't come in and say hi to everybody. And I even mentioned that to you when you were barely coming like to visit some of the family.
Yeah,
and
that you're like,
oh hell no. And I was like, shit, we're gonna have problems.
Yeah, because you're like, you have to go around and shake everybody's hand and say hi. Where in my gatherings with my relatives, it's like, you can voluntarily go and do that, or you could just do a general hi or bye. Mm-hmm. Like, they have eyeballs. They can see that you're there and you're acknowledging everybody. And then you told me, yeah, when we go in there, you have to, like, shake everybody's hand and say hi. And I was like, oh, okay.
Houston, we have a problem. No, but, yeah. I acknowledge that I don't want that for our child. They could give a general hello to everybody.
Yeah.
If they want to hug somebody, they can. But if our child does not want to hug somebody, they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to high five somebody, they can instead of a hug. But it is absolutely their choice. Do they have to acknowledge, hey, hello, I would like them to. Just, I'm here, hello. Because I personally, me as a person, find it super... I find it disrespectful. Like, I come into the classroom and let's say I say hello to the other teacher in the classroom and they don't even respond to me or acknowledge me. I'm like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. To me. So at least have that acknowledgement. Like, hi, hello, yeah. I'm here. Good morning, good afternoon to everybody. Good night. Whatever it is. A general, minimal. That's what I want. That's my viewpoint.
Same. If I have someone coming to a child and be like, hey, hug me. No. And the child already stated they don't want to hug and they still, and then they get mad. I've heard that some like tios or tias get mad and they're like, look at your child's being disrespectful.
That's
because
my family.
Yeah, because they're not hugging me. I'm be like, you're being disrespectful because you're crossing boundaries.
And that's the strong point, boundaries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of the customs, not even traditions.
No, those are...
Those are customs that we grew up with that aren't traditions because not a lot of people agree with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. the boundary of if the child doesn't want a hug, you don't give them a hug. You respect their body and they don't want a hug. So there's that.
Ooh, oh my God. I'm just thinking everybody better respect their children. Also, you know?
Oh, yeah. Boundaries.
Yeah. That's another one you got.
It's also a custom. But growing up, I was always called güera. I don't like that.
The nicknames?
I don't like the nicknames of the body. So even güera, like, I don't like that. Or like prietito, I don't like that. Or like gordo or flaco. Even though it's like de cariño, you're highlighting something about their physical self. And I don't like that.
Okay, yeah.
So those kind of nicknames, they're really... Like, in no other culture, you don't find English-speaking people calling their sons... Hey, fatty, come here, fatty. Come here, skinny. Like, you don't...
Yeah.
You don't hear them calling each other that. Do you know what I mean? So why do we...
That's a good question. That's a very good question. I don't know. Yeah, no, I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah. We just... I don't know. I just feel like that can lead to a lot of, like, body stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have that. I just noticed one time my uncle tried to, like, with me and my cousin, like, medirnos, measure us to see who was tallest. And since I was the youngest, they were assuming I was going to be the shortest, but I was taller than my cousin. And my dad got mad, and he literally told him, like, stop it.
Mm-hmm. Because, or chaparra. Yeah, chaparra.
Because then nicknames come from that, and he was like, nope.
Actually, in English, they do say shorty.
Yeah.
But that's it. They don't call each other fatty or skinny. I don't know. I don't like those.
Why is it always our culture?
Dude, I try to find some, like, historical background. There has to be an explanation. No, there's not. People just started doing it, and they just kept doing it.
Yeah, I was actually looking for, like, maybe more traditions that I've missed that I'm not aware of. And nicknames was under one of those lists. And it said... That sometimes when you go to Mexico, it's easier to find someone by their nickname than by their actual name.
Yeah, dude, the amount of, like, strange-ass nicknames that I have, some are based on their appearance and some are not, but, like, Los Cueteros, that's, like, a nickname, but that's because they sell cuetes.
Oh, my God.
El Sapo, because he looks like a frog.
Oh, my gosh!
Like, there's, like, these random-ass nicknames, right?
Uh-huh.
And you, like, if you say, hey, Jose, blah, 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 they're going to be like, who? And you're like, el hijo del cuetero. And you're like, ah, sí, okay, sí, 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 ya sé quién.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, they, it's true. It's valid.
Damn.
El caso, la olla.
What?
I don't know why they're called el caso or la olla, but those are nicknames in the family.
That's interesting. Damn, I wasn't exposed to that.
Yeah. El tuna.
Like a tuna fish?
No, it's the tuna of, like, el nopal. Like, oh, there's this part of the
cactus part?
The cactus, yeah.
Oh, see, I am fished into fish.
Because growing up, they look like that. Listen, oh. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But again, it's a nickname of their appearance.
Yeah.
I don't know why el caso or la olla, which is, like, appliances.
Yeah.
Maybe they sold those appliances? I don't know, dude. Besides the point. Those are not so much traditions than customs.
Yeah.
There's several other ones. I did want to mention this one. You mentioned this one once that I didn't know was a cultural thing, like a life skill that we've learned as children.
Uh-huh.
But as we started talking to some of our USA-born, raised friends, we realized that they don't do that, and it's going to the bathroom with somebody.
Mainly just girls going together.
Yeah, people just thought, oh, it's because the girls are, like, hanging out in the bathroom. And to us, it's more like a safety concern.
Yeah, survival skill.
I don't know. Like, there's, like, several things like that where we, like, talk to other friends that didn't grow up in, like, a Latino household or, like, our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what? No, we've never experienced that.
And we're like, oh, that's just us. Okay, cool. Great.
And that's why when it came to like us and like, oh, we're definitely passing out. We thought because we grew up, again, same church, community. Same neighborhood, everything. Even from California, like we both grew up a little bit in California, came to Colorado, did that whole thing.
Our moms are from the same...
They're from the same part in Mexico. You'd think we'd have the same customs, the same traditions, and we don't.
We don't.
Isn't that crazy? Your mom and my mom are both from the same, not town, but like state in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then we were both born in California. And then we both
listen,
it's the universe. Dude, I mean, we were totally meant to just be together.
Yeah.
Because what are the odds there? Both our moms were born in the same state of Mexico. We were both born in California. We both came to the Colorado roundish the same time. We both lived right next to each other when we moved to Colorado. We started progressively moving to this neighborhood where we live now. And then
we went to middle school and high school together.
We went to sort of college together.
And then we were in the same work area.
And that's how we started dating.
Hello, stranger.
Listen, it's the universe. Yep. But these are just like conversations like we have.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the daily, but stuff that comes often up. Yeah. When we like see a tradition that we're like, oh yeah, we used to do that. And you're like, no, we don't. Or like you say, this is what I like for our future children. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that. But this is conversations we have. And it just so happens that, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this list still goes on.
Mm-hmm.
To like.
These are just, I think, the major ones.
Yeah. Like when we have kids, I'm going to. I already have a thing for germs.
Oh yeah, there's just so much when her child is gonna be like the baby, a baby. There's just gonna be so many components because again, Daisy's more of a germaphobe than I am.
Yes,
and that's why I'm telling her right now, and I've told her before, you need to lay down how you want things cleaned.
And then for the outside people too, because not only am I a germaphobe, but I am confrontational.
Yeah, I'm not.
I am not scared to tell people off.
And so there's just a lot of things that we've discussed as a baby, when the child is a baby, that things will not happen with other people.
Like adults kissing them on the face, on the cheek, no.
Holding
like,
their little hand with their dirty ass hands.
No, like, no. Even like other children coming and touch the kid, no, like that's a big no-no for me.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we saw that happen. There was this random little baby touching this other, like, newborn baby.
And I was freaking out.
And Daisy from a distance was like, did that child just touch that other child? And I was like, yeah, they don't know. We were at an event for my school. And we were just watching this interaction happen. And I knew the mom of the newborn. And the other baby, I was like, that other baby does not belong to that lady. It's a stranger baby, and it's touching the little face of the newborn, and the mom was just so okay with it. Listen, I know we need to build immune systems, but it's not going to fly. Time, it's not going to fly with Daisy. Yeah.
No, I think I was stressing out more than the actual parent.
Oh, the parent, I don't think gave a shit.
I work with toddlers every day, and I see what they get their hands into, where they put it. It's just not.
It's gross.
Yeah.
Same.
And I learn all the little germs they get. And then I get sick. So yeah, no, that's a big no from me.
Yeah, there's like several things that we could get into, but this episode's kind of long. And I think it's made to be a little longer. But if you have any Latino traditions or any traditions in general that you or family shares that we didn't mention, or that you wish to pass on to your child that we didn't mention, share them along.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear what traditions you and your family hold. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter. That's all we have. And anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
We'll see you next time.
Yay!